Imagination, godly imagination. Now, imagination is something that every one of us here that we have, you know. But first, before I start, the scripture is in Ephesians, I believe, in chapter 3, verse 20. Yeah, oh yes, that's good. This is Paul's prayer. He says, now to him, that is God, now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You see, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. You see, that's the God we serve. I mean, this morning we all learned that God daily loads us with benefits, you see. So imagination is vital for believers. And I think we don't use it enough, you know. And I've been reading a book on imagination, and it's a very, very instructive book. It says, God created us all with the ability to imagine. You know, as human beings, you know, whether you're a believer or not, we all have a wonderful sense of imagination. So, for instance, if I was to ask you here to imagine yourself eating an apple, you know, I'm sure you can do that. Nobody will find it very challenging. Maybe the babies, of course. And then if I say, imagine yourself on holidays, sitting on a beach, having a refreshing drink. You know, I'm sure all of us we can form that picture, isn't it? You know, and the way we switch, I mean, for instance, from eating an apple to have, you know, on a beach, is always remarkable. You know, so it's not a big deal. It's a capability that God has instilled into human beings. Now, all holidays over, just stay with me in church. We are in church now. So God has given every human being, whether you're a believer or not, the power of imagination. Yeah? But before I go on, let me give you a definition of what imagination is. You know, when I looked at the dictionary, it says that imagination is defined as the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before in existence. So you can also think of it as creative ability to confront and deal with a problem, i.e. resourcefulness, being resourceful. It's also the thinking or active mindset. You know, so no one found it difficult to imagine eating an apple. I'm sure none of us were thinking of apple. I'm sure you will form the mental image. It could well be a green apple or a red one or whatever. But everybody is capable of forming a mental image or picture of something, isn't it? So God has given us that ability, whether or not you are a believer. So imagination is very important. But I must stress that there's a fine line between imagination and fantasy. So I don't want to, sometimes when we engage in imagination, we are actually engaging in fantasy. So for example, if I imagine myself being an Arsenal player, for example, being in the Arsenal team, wearing the Arsenal jersey with number 7. You know, I've already given off the game away, isn't it? I'm fantasizing. Because I know that number 7, the name on that back of the jersey is Saka. And the last time I looked at my passport, my name was not Saka, you know? And, you know, that is fantasy. So there's always a fine line between imagination and fantasy. So one has to be careful of that. But what I'm trying to explain this morning is imagination. Imagination has power. And, you know, the title of the message is The Power of Godly Imagination. Yeah? So that is different from the worldly imagination. There's imaginations in the world. So, for example, I was listening to one of the athletes, one of the Olympian athletes. His name is Tom Daley. Yeah? Tom Daley. He said, even before he won the Olympic medal, he had pictured that event, that moment, you know, when he was at a young age. So he pictured that exact moment. And so that when he won it, it was as if he was fulfilling that imagination. And then there's another person that you know very well. Tom Daley, his name is, you know, his initial is TD. So if you swap that around, DT, there's a politician called DT. Yeah, which you all know, yeah? Yeah, go on. This is not a trick question. So Donald Trump, he actually attended, when he was a youngster, he attended Vincent Peale's church in New York. And, you know, they teach the power of imagination. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump is, but what I'm trying to say is that God has given every human being the ability to imagine, the power of imagination. So he uses mental picture, the power of positive thinking, you know, in some of the things he does. You know, I'm not saying that it's okay or it's good or bad. I'm just trying to explain what is happening here. So imagination is important, even for a believer. In Genesis chapter 15, this was Genesis 15 from verse 1. It says, this is Abraham. You know, Abraham had gone to rescue his cousin Lot, and he's come from battle, you know, and he's been met by King Melchizedek and so on. And then he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. Well, I'll call him Abraham, even though it says Abram in this. So it says, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Verse 2. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. You see, so Abraham was complaining because Abraham didn't have any children. You know, he's just come back from battle. He's probably thinking that I could have been killed in that battle and that would have been it. But he was complaining to God. And sometimes that's what we do as well. You know, we complain to God that you promised me this. You promised me good health. You know, it's been a while now. There's nothing to show for it. And then look at what God said. And behold, the word, even God didn't speak. He says, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then, this is God, then he brought Abraham outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. You see, what God did was, he didn't argue with Abraham. He said, he brought him outside. He said, come out of your house, or your tent in those days. You know, because if he didn't come out of his tent, God was not able to show him the possibility of imagining. He would not be able to look at the stars from his tent. So God brought him out, and He showed him the stars. He said, start counting the stars. And, you know, I'm sure Abraham probably started 1, 2. Oh, there's quite a lot here. I can't count it. You see? And then in verse 6, he says, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. You see? So what God was trying to teach Abraham was the power of imagination. He was showing him the stars, that these are how many children or grandchildren that you will see or that God will give you, you know. And Abraham sort of believed. He sort of stopped complaining. That's what that passage is trying to say. So what God was doing was working with the imagination of Abraham, you know. And at one time in the Bible, Abraham, and you know, God said to Abraham that, try to number the sand, and you know, and those are the, you know, they'll be as, you know, the number of your descendants. Yeah. So think of that, because what God was trying to do was that, during the day, you know, even though Abraham was still facing childlessness, he would probably see a lot of sand. He would be thinking, my children and grandchildren will be as numerous as the sand. That's during the day. At night, the stars will come out, and he will see a lot of stars. And those things were reminding him, night and day, of all the promises of God. And he says, Abraham stopped arguing. He believed God, that what God said will come to pass. So God also works by imagination. He encouraged Abraham by imagination. So when God says that he will give you health, he expects you to imagine that you will be in good health. Even though, you know, you may be suffering, you may be having issues with your health, but what God is expecting you to do is to imagine. You see, human beings, imagination, I believe, is that it fires us up, you know. It helps us to see a picture, you know, which everybody can do, but for believers, we have an even greater advantage. It gives us a picture, you know. So it could well be in the area of health, it could be in the area of finances, it could be your marriage, you know. Even a bad marriage, sometimes it comes from within. You know, you're having a picture of, oh, my wife is looking tardy or whatever. My wife is getting bigger. But, you know, it comes from the mind. That's the power of imagination. But for godly imagination, you're thinking, you're using the word of God to create a mental picture of a happy marriage, of a happy home. You know, even your children, you know, for example, you could say that, you know, when you read in the passage, one of the scriptures says that, you know, your children shall be the head and not the tail. They shall be the first and not the last. And sometimes your children can come with, you know, their results, 10%, 20%. Don't get angry. Start imagining the word of God coming true in their life. Start imagining that little Joey came home with top of the class. Don't start telling him that, you know, he's a dunce, he can't, you know. Start praying. You know, in addition to prayer, God wants us to imagine. Don't forget, our opening scripture says that the power of God working in us, according to the power of God working in us. You see, the power of God also needs our cooperation. You see, as human beings, as believers, more importantly, we tend to think that God is going to do everything. That's not how it works, folks. God expects us to do our own bit. He expects us to do the natural bit. The supernatural bit, we should leave it to him, you see? So that's what imagination does. Imagination energizes you. It drives you to do the natural, you know? So it could well be that, you know, you're hoping that your child does well, you know, and it will drive you to do something. It could be enrolling him in extra math lesson. It could be going to the library to find out a book on how someone who struggled when they were young became, you know, a professor or mathematician. Yeah. So those are the sort of things that imagination does. It drives you, it energizes you to take action. You see, that's the natural bit that you're doing. The supernatural aspect, that's where God comes in. So imagination is very important for us. So instead of complaining, I just want to encourage you this morning that let's begin to imagine, you know, based on God's word, not our own way, you know, way of thinking, you know, because God expects us to use his word to form a mental picture. Then one thing I also want to mention is, just bear with me 1 second, I'm just get my bearing here. One thing I also want to mention is that imagination goes hand in hand with hope. Because when you're imagining something, although you cannot see that thing, in a way, it's hope. You're hoping that something will happen in future. So imagination is necessary for hope. And you know that hope, you know, in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. You see, so imagination fires a hope, and hope, and faith rather, is having confidence in your imagination. So faith and hope, they are also linked together. So when you have imagination, you know, it helps to stabilize you, and it helps also to make you determined, regardless of the circumstances. Now, for instance, athletes like Tom Daley, I'm sure that when he thought of winning the Olympic medal, you know, even though he had it, a picture of it in his mind, I'm sure there would be some days when he wouldn't want to train. But because he had that mental picture, you know, it created resilience in him. Now, I'm sure most of you, whether you like Donald Trump or not, one thing you will have to give to him is that that man is determined. No matter what you throw at him, as abuse or chicken or kitchen sink, you know, the guy just keeps on going. Even if you throw legal aspects at him, the guy, he said, you know, I've never seen someone like that in my whole life, I have to admit. You see, he believed totally in this thing, the power of positive thinking. Now, I'm not saying that what he's doing is right or wrong, but I'm just telling you that because he attended Vincent Peale's church, and they have, you know, in fact, they wrote a book on the power of positive thinking. You know, that you think positive and you get it, whatever it is, good or bad. But that's not, I'm just linking it to God. And also saying that godly imagination, not any imagination. You know, you can think of bad things, and also when you plan of it, it may come true. But this, what I'm trying to say here, is godly imagination. And for you to have imagination, godly imagination, it has to be based on the word of God, you know, not on the word of man or the worldly view, as we shall soon see. So bear that in mind, please. And then I can also picture it this way, what godly imagination is, by looking at Matthew chapter 4. Verse 22 to 32, Matthew chapter 4. I know time is against us, so I'll be try and be quick. This was Jesus. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, that's like between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples, it means all of the disciples, saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. So that means every one of them was afraid. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Then, keep going. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." You see, Peter, I'm sure, imagined that if Jesus can do this, so can I. You know, that's what, you know, remember that they started out from a position of fear. And then this time around, Peter asked the question that, if it's really you, command me to come down out of the boat. And then he says, so Jesus said, come. You see, that's based on the word. It's based on the word of God. And when Peter had come out of the boat, you know, it takes boldness to come out of the boat anyways, yeah? He walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know, boldness to come out of the boat and then start walking on the water. And then but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Now, Peter started imagining, you know, when he saw the wind, he changed his imagination that I'm done for here. This wind is not going to let up. I'm going to sink. I'm going to die. Well, what happened? It says, and he began to sink and he cried out. You see how imagination works. So imagination says, if it is you, command me to come out of, you know, out of the boat and walk on the sea. And that imagination was taking him. So what this is teaching us is that sometimes when we imagine things, especially godly imagination, we start out well-meaning. We begin to listen to, maybe you're trusting God for finances, for provision. Then you begin to listen to BBC News. Inflation has gone up 10%. There's job losses here and there, you know. Those are the sort of things that causes us to sink. That, you know, it basically bumps away our imagination or our godly imagination. So that's when you imagine, when you have godly imagination, don't think that everything is going to be plain sailing. You need to be resilient. You need to be persistent because there will be situations, there will be circumstances, there will be events, there will be happenings, there will be news, either not only on BBC News or social media or your friends or your work colleagues complaining at work that, you know, this company is going bust. You know, there will be things that will affect your imagination. What God expects us to do is to hold tight to that imagination. You know, when we read about Abraham, when God showed him the stars and so on, it still took a long time for him to have children. You know, at one time, they went to the land of, I can't remember the place, one of this heathen land, and the king of that land took Sarah as a wife, but God in his mercy did not allow him to come near Sarah. And, you know, in fact, what happened was God stopped all the other king's wife from having children. And then the king later realized his mistake and gave Sarah back to Abraham. And what God said was, pray for the king's wife that they will have children. And Abraham prayed for the king's wife and they had children. But he himself did not have children. You see, sometimes, you know, and it took a while, but you know, if you read that story, you'll find that even the next verse says that when after Abraham had prayed for the children, God remembered Sarah as well, you see. So sometimes imagination, you know, you face so many challenges. In fact, Abraham, as you well know, had other children even before Isaac was born. He had Ishmael, isn't he? So, but, you know, the promise of God was that, you know, the seed will come through Sarah, not any other person. So imagination, sometimes you falter. You face challenges, and it's only with the grace of God that you can come through. But what God expects from us is to keep believing his word. So when he says you are healed, you know, even though you haven't seen that healing, just begin to imagine walking in good health, walking in good, doing things that maybe you were not able to do. You know, begin to imagine that. It may take a while, but, you know, what happens is also imagination creates a desire within you. You know, you begin to thank God for your healing, even though you haven't seen it, you know, to say, Lord, thank you. Sometimes imagination can even fire your body to begin to do the things that you have not been able to do, regardless of whether you're sick or not. I hope I'm, you know, you're following what I'm trying to say. So it energizes you. It gives power to you. And, you know, the power that is at work in us, you know, the Spirit of God at work in us, you know, it needs something to work with. You know, it doesn't expect, you know, the Holy Spirit will not take over from us. When the Holy Spirit sees that we're doing things based on God's word, he partners with us. He works together with us to make sure that word comes to pass. One of the passages in Romans chapter 12 as well. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In other words, what that passage is saying is that make sure that the way the world does things, don't be driven by that. Make sure that your thinking, your imagination lines up with the word of God. When you do that, you will see, you will be able to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A lady preacher, finally, because of time, a lady preacher narrated a story about her dad's allotment. You know, so her dad had a small allotment. And what the dad will do is, he will plant many different types of fruits. But, you know, like this row, he may plant peas. And, you know, so we have a row of peas. And at the end of that row, he will have a stick and then a picture of the fruit, like peas. And then the next one may be a picture of a strawberry or carrots or something, you see? So, and she said that when she was young, she used to, when she went to the allotment, she would see the picture and she would say, I'm going to have carrots shortly, you know, and it creates excitement, even though all she saw was the rose, because she knew that soon, you know, it's only a matter of time before the plants and things come out, you see, which is the seed. So that picture created excitement within her. You know, it energized her. And, you know, as believers, that's what God expects from us as well. Because the word of God that we hear is actually seed. It's seed. So it's not, when it says God will give you good health, it's a seed. And in the book of Mark, I think, it says that a farmer plants a seed. And, you know, first of all, grows to the ear and the blade and so on. But you see, the words of God that we are hearing this morning is a seed. And if we when it goes to the ground, it's expected to produce a harvest. You see, what happens is that when we have that picture, a mental picture of the harvest, that's how we get to, you know, to see the results of the word of God that has been planted in us. So God expects us, every one of us here, to use our imagination. You know, when we pray, believe that God will answer you. You know, I'm speaking to myself as well, you see, and when we do that, we'll begin to prove the perfect will of God in our lives. We'll begin to see God move in many ways. So this is our year of elevation. And, you know, see yourself being elevated in your health, in your job, in school, in your academics for the young children. See yourself doing well. Those who are doing GCSE, O-levels and A-levels as well, even uni. See yourself as doing well. See yourself as excelling, you know. And when you see yourself as excelling, you know, it creates a desire within you. You know, it could well be that you're thinking of hanging out with your friends, you know, and say, no, I need to study. I need to study because I want to be what I'm seeing. I want to do what I'm seeing. It creates that impetus. It creates that drive. So that's how God created us. So having a mental picture makes all the difference, you see, because God wants the world to know the children of God. He says that creation has been waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. And I believe that these are the times, you know, this day and age that God wants to showcase the children of God to the community out there, you know, and may God bless everyone. Thank you so much for hearing. And Lord, we thank you because we know, Lord, that you will help us, that the words that we have heard, we will not treat it in vain. Lord, we will practice it. We pray that by your Spirit, you will energize us, that you will fire our imagination. Amen. Help us, Lord God, to be the people that you want us to be. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, both young and old, Lord. Help us, Lord God, this season, Lord, to live for your glory. Amen. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen. Amen.